This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Today feels kind of like a post-mortem with this Knicks club right now. 1-800-919-3776, where, I mean, it was a great season. Nobody's going to deny it. They did things that most people thought were an impossibility, but the end stunk. And it's not like you could say, well, they played a really good game and the other team was just better. They played a horrendous game. Now, I think the other team was just better, but that's where we are in this Monday morning, kind of reflecting and reacting to what we saw in the series against Miami, specifically the end on Friday night.
Yeah. I mean, it was a game that was winnable, and Jalen Brunson was great, and the two other players that you were relying on did not have good nights.
We're garbage.
Yeah, 424 is not going to get it done.
And again, like we said earlier in the show, which is, I don't ever remember this, that one player has more made field goals than the entire rest of the team.
Yeah, I would have to think back. I mean, that's not something that I remember seeing or
writing down. I'm sure in Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, he did that, right?
Yeah, in some of those big games.
Right, maybe when Kobe had like 80-something. But for the most part, it's just unforeseen. The 13 made field goals from everybody not named Jalen Brunson?
Yeah, it's bad.
Really, really bad.
Yeah, I mean, here's the other thing, though, too. So, you started off the game. I mean, at shooting-wise, I think there were 7 of their first 16 from 3. Which is, I mean, that's good. That's solid. 7 of your first 16 is good. And then from that point on, they were 3 for their last 19. And then, I mean, you get to the fourth quarter, and it took 6 minutes. It took half the quarter to make your first bucket.
And all those things being said, you were right there.
2 points down.
2 points down, ball in your hands, and you turned it over.
Yep.
It's a shame. And again, you don't reflect back on this and say to yourself, oh, what an awful season. I just think that this series against Miami was missed opportunities.
Well, when you take that, I mean, right. But if we go back as we watch the series and, you know, Miami setting the tone early with winning game one and then played you hard in game two and then what you saw in games three and four, you said to yourself, and we said this a couple different times, it just feels like Miami's the better team. I think the problem was before the series even started, was, I mean, you beat Cleveland in 5, right? I mean, you talk about second chance points and rebounds, the way Mitch looked against those bigs. And I don't know if it was that we overrated Cleveland or we overrated how we played against Cleveland, whatever it was.
Or underrated Miami, right?
No, but that was getting to that. And then you see, okay, we just took care of our business. And now if somehow Miami finds a way to close out Milwaukee, this is an amazing opportunity that you don't usually see. Like, it's happened, what, 5 times at an 8-1? So, I mean, of course, you're saying, yeah, give us Miami, not realizing or not taking into account that this isn't the same Miami team that you saw during the regular season, that Kyle Lowry wasn't going to be washed, right? That playoff Jimmy is just different, that Eric Spoelstra is an amazing coach. This team was, you know, in Game 7 of last year's Eastern Conference Finals. And then in the NBA Finals during the bubble. So, like, all those things, you'll line up to say, oh, we got a real chance. We got home court advantage. It's an 8 seed. And then series starts, you're like, whoa, okay, wait, this is not your run-of-the-mill 8 seed.
No.
It's a really good team. And then on top of that, game 6 happens where Jalen's great again and Julius isn't good. RJ's not good. But most importantly, Julius isn't good. And we all understand how polarizing Julius is, and now people are left saying to themselves, rather than looking at this season as, you know, the first step, we got the point guard now, we're excited about Jalen, guys are getting experience, and now, you know, we'll be better moving forward is, well, we can't get better moving forward if this is who Julius is going to be during the postseason, so we got to make some moves.
You know, I think it's a fair discussion. I mean, and here's the question. We'll throw it out there to you guys as well, 800-919-3776. Can the Knicks get to where you ultimately want to get to with Julius Randle as one of the huge key components of this team? And I would say no.
If this is who he's going to be in the playoffs, then yeah. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't say no. Right? I mean, if if he was the same player you saw during the regular season, yeah, I mean, you got a real chance because he's, I mean, two of the last 3 years, he's been second team and third team All-NBA.
But he hasn't been that same player in the postseason.
I understand that, Dave. I get it. So, I mean, that's exactly why you're asking the question, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Let's get to the calls. Hot Take Johnny is on 98.7 ESPN. Good morning, Hot Take.
Good morning, gentlemen. Shout out to the company. So, Julius Randle, something you just said, Rick, kind of relates to what I was saying, or we're going to say. You said if we get Julius Randle two of the last 3 years during the regular season, here's why that relates to what I'm going to say. Last year, we didn't have the same Julius Randle we did this year and the previous year. I think a big part of that is coming off his previous postseason, New York was not us fans weren't behind him because we saw what he did in the playoffs. And mentally, he couldn't handle that and didn't play as well last year. I think the fan base is clearly done with him because we've seen how he is in the postseason, two of them now. Next year, all the talk heading into the season is going to be Randle, Randle, Randle. And I don't see how the Knicks fans are going to embrace him during the regular season. And I can't see him not having another season like he did last year, again, during the regular season. I just don't see Randle performing as well in the regular season because he doesn't handle pressure well. Clearly he doesn't. It's going to be all on his shoulders heading into next year. We are not, as a fan base, going to be accepting of Julius not playing well from this postseason. He's going to hear it. I think he's going to get booed his first game, honestly. I really do think so in the regular season. And
not
I think he's going to respond well to it.
He goes out there, he plays well, he's not going to get booed.
Heading into the game, I think he is.
You think they're going to
boo are, him? The fan base is not happy.
No. No. This net, you think he's going to get booed running onto the court in game one?
Would it surprise you? It wouldn't
didn't
surprise
Stanton
me. I can guarantee it wouldn't surprise me.
Didn't Stanton get booed his first at bat?
After he made it out? I mean,
yeah, look what he's coming off of. The expectations are different coming into next year for him. And seeing what we just got from him now, this fan base is not happy with him. I haven't talked to any Knicks fans. Like, oh, yeah, he's good. Let's move on with him. He's great. Everyone's unhappy with him.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be a tough conversation because, I mean, even listening to the clip that Dave played early in the show with Tibbs, I mean, it's clear that Tibbs has a lot of love and respect for Julius, and they have to decide moving forward, you know, whether or not he gives them the best chance to win in the playoffs. If they consider themselves now like a perennial playoff team, they need to figure out, I mean, how they get more. And if they feel like Julius can be a better version of himself moving forward in the playoffs, then they probably keep him. If they don't, then they have to figure out, you know, if there's moves that can be made. Because you still have to replace the production during the regular season.
Sure you do. No, absolutely. Now, if you replace it with, you know, 80% of what he was in the regular season, and then you get more from Toppin and Quickley and Grimes and Josh Hart, is that enough? And then, you know, and then you're better positioned for the postseason? Yeah, I mean, this is why Leon Rose gets paid. He's going to have to figure out this offseason what the plan is moving forward with the Knicks.
Well, I think it's clear that the team needs to be built around Jalen.
That's obvious. He's a star. And not only is he a star, like, I thought he was going to be good. There's no way you could tell me anybody thought he was going to be to this level.
Like this?
No way.
No, but I mean, I think you can see why. Yeah, like just watching him play, like his basketball IQ, his toughness. Like he's not a big guy, but he's just a strong guy. Like he gets to his spots when he wants to. His handle is gross.
How's this guy never been an all-star?
Well, that's because he was in Doncic's shadow in Dallas.
He is. I can't even believe he's that good. I can't believe he's that good. I can't believe they let him get away. I can't believe the Knicks got him for what they got him for. I can't believe he's 26 and you move forward with this guy. Like, so many things are thrilling about, really everything about Jalen Brunson.
Well, how tough he is, too.
Oh, he's a warrior.
They beat the crap out of him.
He is built for New York. Shooter, Stanford. Shooter, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, company. Another great day to be alive. Hoo-ah. So, Julius Randle. Rick kind of talked about this, like, his role, right? Knowing his role in the Knicks, he won't take a lesser role. I'm really happy with this season. I think Julius played great, but it's not an outlier of these playoffs. Like, during the regular season, Julius was not good in the fourth quarter and closing minutes of a game. It's very clear. I think the Knicks have to move on from him. I think it's a must for the future of our team. And like Rick said, his role, right, on the Knicks, I don't think he'll take a small role. But if he goes somewhere else a new team, a new setting. Julius will take a different role, and I think he'll be successful on another team. But with the Knicks, it's not happening. I think that's what we got to do. June 1st, Judgment Day. Can't wait to meet you guys. Have a great week.
Appreciate you, Shooter. Yeah, I would say that most fans, and we're kind of getting the pulse of the Knicks fan, wants him to be moved this offseason.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I just think you have to be careful not to move him solely to move him. Like, he's, say what you want about him, and I'm not a huge fan either. But in the regular season, he's a terrific player.
And he shows up every day to play.
Yes. And you just have to be able to cobble together that kind of production from whoever, you know, from the pieces you bring in, coupled with the pieces you have, to not miss him terribly in the regular season and then be better in the postseason.
There's a reason why you drafted Obi. I mean, that's why you drafted Obi. And then Julius emerged as, you know, he has the season where he's, you know, second team all NBA, All-Star and all that stuff, and kind of solidified his spot. And then Obi really didn't have much of a role. But, I mean, that's why you drafted Obi, and you didn't draft Halliburton. So, I don't know, there's some interesting names out there. I mean, see what happens in Boston with Jaylen Brown. He's up for a mega extension.
Right.
Him and Tatum. I mean, you're talking about combined, like, over $600 million bucks.
Which is crazy. And there's no way you can move on from Tatum.
No. Tatum's their guy. But, I mean, Jaylen Brown's eligible for a five-year, $295 million Supermax.
I mean, if you pay both player. Of those guys the Supermax, you're going to be able to afford nothing else.
Oh, it's over. Yeah, it's over. I told you. It's like $619 million or something like that.
If Jaylen Brown is available, and you could somehow move on from Randall and bring in Brown, you're a better team.
Well, it's going to cost you more than Julius, yeah.
Well, no, I know. But you also have a boatload of picks.
Yeah, a boatload of picks. Get some players that you would trade. You get some contracts that you can move. I mean, you got flexibility. It's just, it's trying to find the right guy that wants to be here that's gonna make you better. It just sucks, man. It's tough. It really is. This is a tough city to play in.
It's almost impossible.
It's clear that you want to win over this fan base. You better produce in the playoffs.
Unless you're, Messier, Eli Manning, Derek Jeter, where you're just nothing phases you.
Well, you're homegrown too. I mean, I think that helps. Not Mess, but I mean Jeter and Eli. But don't forget, I mean, before Eli won that Super Bowl, people were ready to move off of him and Coughlin.
He won the Super Bowl in his fourth year, though.
Yeah, I know, but people were getting close to being done with him before that.
In year four?
Yeah. What do you mean? You don't remember that?
No.
Well, he was taking tons of heat, him and Coughlin, before he went on that run.
Taking heat, Coughlin more than Eli, I think.
I think both. He was skittish. I mean, what are you, nuts?
You think they wanted to move on from Eli?
No, I think the fan base was getting agitated with him.
But the thing is, nothing phases him.
Yeah, I understand nothing phases him. But also helped, I mean, that you go on an epic Super Bowl run, too. Like, I mean, him winning also helped.
Well, of course.
Takes the pressure off.
Same thing with Jeter.
I think part of the reason why Gerrit Cole's been so good this season is because he was good in the playoffs last year. And that kind of relieves some of the pressure for him.
It's a hard place to play, man.
Yeah, they have high expectations. Sometimes the expectations are a little crazy, but...
But once you're, like, locked in as one of their... Like, Jalen Brunson is, like, he can do no wrong right now.
Yeah, he's locked in.
But, yeah, when you struggle and you're expected to be great, it's very difficult to deal with for this fan base. ESPN New York has your chance to win $25,000 this baseball season in the New York No-Hitter Sweepstakes. Today's qualifier, Jacqueline Maloney from South River, New Jersey, who has chosen New York's American League team to throw a no-hitter today. Enter right now at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app. Pick a team and to throw a no-hitter, and you can win $25,000 presented by MohiganSunCasino.com. For full contest rules, just go to ESPNNewYork.com. 1-800-919-3776. I mean, every time we take a Knicks call, another Knicks call just pops right in.
So let's keep taking Knicks calls.
I like the way you're thinking. Let's go to Alfonso in Hawthorne. Alfonso, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you guys doing? First time caller. Love you guys. Just wanted to call. I don't think Tibbs is the guy for our team. He's been here a couple of years already, and he can't get Randle to understand that he's not the point guard. I mean, I don't understand how people can't see this. Like, Randle wants to be the point guard, but he's not the point guard. He always turns the ball over. If you saw the game, you could see frustration in Brunson's face when Randle would take the ball up the court. So that's one thing. And then another thing is everybody kills RJ. Everybody wants to kill RJ. He's 22 years old. He does the same thing in the regular season that he does in the postseason. Look at his numbers, the exact same numbers. At least you're consistent with him. I mean, I know he has some bad games and good games, but he had, when everybody was killing him, he had like three games in a row that he had 25 points. And nobody talks about that when he does well.
I don't think anyone killed him this postseason outside of the first two games he played against Cleveland. I don't think anyone killed him.
He had two bad games.
Games one and two against Cleveland, he was bad. And then for the rest of the playoffs, up until game six, he was
good. The last game.
But I don't. And thanks for the call, Alfonso. And I don't think you can look at this and say that RJ Barrett's being beaten up the same way Julius Randle is. Nor do I think he should be.
Stop. No. No. And that's the other thing, though, too. Like it ends up being this is every single time. It's Julius and it's Tibbs. You understand what Tibbs took over and how in 2 years in 3 years we've been in the playoffs twice and just got into the game six of the second round.
Yeah, I think Tibbs has done a good job. I'm not so quick to be ready to move on from him.
Well, you can't just say move on. Like, okay, give me the better option then.
I mean, who's? I mean, definitively, who's better than him?
Right, that's not my call to make. I mean, right, I think it's pretty clear that
Spo's
better.
Is Monty Williams better? Spoelstra's better, but there's no way you get your hands on Spoelstra.
I don't know if Monty Williams was that good. Does Phoenix move away from him?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
Like that team has. I mean, that team's got Booker and Durant,
and almost nothing else now.
Yeah, because of what they gave up to get Durant, and then Ayton's got some kind of. Got his feelings hurt, whatever he's dealing with.
The fact that he didn't play in that game six is amazing to me.
It's wild.
We talked about New York being a tough place to play. That happened in Arizona. He's getting crushed. Do you know what happens in New York if you don't play in that game?
Destroyed.
You might as well pack your bags and not even show up for the game because you're gone.
No, I would have packed my bags before I made the decision because there's no way I'm coming back.
No way. You could even walk the streets of New York City if you
made
that
decision.
No, you're
out. Now, right after the game is over, see you later. You're out. Next flight, see ya.
All right, so here's a question for you. The 1-2-3 pick. Zion Williamson, never healthy. Ja Morant has some major issues right now. Or RJ Barrett, who's good, not great. Who would you take of those three right now?
I think I still take Ja Morant.
Hoping you can figure it out with him.
Yeah. He's so good.
He's so good.
He's so good, dude.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You like May?
Do I like May?
Yeah. What's your favorite month?
My favorite month is probably November.
Because you love Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving.
And you like football.
I like football.
So Thanksgiving and football, very nice.
Very nice. I like fall weather, too.
And then you intertwine both of them, like on Thanksgiving Day, and it's just there's no better day of the entire year.
It's bliss.
It's a relief. Relief.
But there's no presents. It's just food and football, relaxing.
But for him, it's very stressful. For Santiago, he's got his Cowboys every Thanksgiving Day.
Well, and in this case, I'm just relieved that my turkey is safe this year. No problems.
You're lucky.
Terrible things Rick wants to do.
Go right after the man's turkey. Why would you do that? You have such respect for the
turkey. I think you know why I would do it. Well, I think you know why I would do it.
Because you have no respect for Santiago.
No, no. I throw respect out the window. My team's going up against his team.
Yeah, well, we'll have to deal in September.
Well, I don't play games like Santiago and Santillo. Oh, no, your hair's great. Do you put product? No, our teams are playing. Who cares? We love each
other. Well, I know RJ genuinely likes me. Sometimes I wonder with you.
Oh, my God. I've been with you since the beginning.
That doesn't mean you like me.
You know, there's long marriages that the other party doesn't love the other one.
Oh, my God.
There's open hatred there in some of those.
Yeah.
I mean, not one of those marriages.
So let's ask you right now. Do you love Raymond?
I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I would do anything for Raymond.
Who do you like better, RJ or Ray?
Cuddle, marry, trash.
I love them both.
Cuddle, marry, trash. Me, Raymond, RJ.
Well, no. I mean, that's a silly question.
It's not. It's a great question.
I would marry you, I would cuddle Raymond, and I would trash RJ.
Whoa.
What the heck?
RJ left us.
I did not expect
for
that.
For a day!
No. I'm not. No, RJ left us at some point and went to the K-Show. RJ left us.
He did.
Yeah. Raymond has not. Raymond has been with me since the beginning.
Raymond wasn't on the show when I started the show with you.
Well, you abandoned me at night first. It was me and you at night.
It was me and you at night. Oh, we were elite at night.
And then I took your show at night, and then all of a sudden we just ended up.
We went all over the place.
We've been all over, and now here we are.
Every day part.
And now here we are. All right, so November's your month. You love the turkey. You love the football. And you're going to have a Black Friday football game this year.
Yeah, I was looking over our schedule again this weekend.
It's brutal.
The first six are tough.
Brutal.
The first six are tough.
Yeah, really are. All right, Dante, East Brunswick. We'll get to the baseball in about 10 minutes. The Mets weekend and the Yankees as well. Dante, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing?
We're doing. What do you got?
Yeah, it was a tough one this weekend, obviously. But obviously in the moment, you know, everyone is on the get rid of Julius, get rid of Julius train, and obviously had a bad postseason. But I just think a lot of times people, you know, first couple – this is only his third playoff series. He struggled, no doubt. But I think the team is a better team with him than without him. Even in this series, you look in games 2 and 5, we don't win those games if he's playing.
I don't think it's a question of whether you're better with him. I think it's a question of are you better moving on from him and bringing other pieces in.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if we're really going to be. What are you really going to get? Like, what kind of guy are you going to get to replace that production during the regular season? The playoffs is one thing, but I just don't think. In the regular season setting, what are you going to get? The guy's going to put 25, 10, and 5. I don't really think there's that many guys out there, you know, that put those kind of numbers up.
There aren't. There isn't. I mean, there's a handful. There's a handful of guys that give you that production.
But do you need it from one guy?
Right. Do you need it from one guy? I mean, there's something to be said about the amount of attention he draws when he's on the court. Now, can he make, you know, good decisions out of that? A lot of the time, he doesn't. And he goes, you know, bull in a china shop. He turns the ball over and it drives people nuts. Or he dribbles the air out of the ball and then takes some really difficult shot. Yeah, I get it. I mean, these are not questions. I mean, these are questions that Tibbs and Leon, they're going to have to sit down and figure out, you know, what's missing. I mean, they definitely need to add shooting. The loss of IQ was a huge, just not having IQ forget him being hurt. IQ not playing like IQ played during the regular season this postseason was a problem.
Right, and then to not have him. I mean, McBride is at best fine.
Yeah, but I mean, IQ was he's a finalist for sixth man of the year.
I remember the game that he played against Boston on that Sunday where he went for like 40-something points when Brunson didn't play.
Yeah, he was awesome.
All I needed was like 4 minutes from him at the end of the second quarter.
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough conversation to have. I think the one thing is abundantly clear, though, is that the focal point of the team is Jalen.
That's right. And you feel good about that for the first time in a long time, where your star player is a star player. And now you build around that.
Right.
Whether it's you continue with Julius Randle or you trade him. And let's be fair. I mean, are you beholden to Mitchell Robinson either? I don't think so.
No. No, absolutely not. I mean, listen, the Cleveland series, great. This series, not so much.
Bad.
Well, I think he got exposed a little. I mean, Bam Adebayo is a really good player.
And he has no game offensively. So he's on the court, and you are playing shorthanded.
Right. So, I mean, he doesn't help with your spacing. And if he's not getting you offensive rebounds and playing elite defense, then...
Then what are you getting from him?
Not much.
John Queens. John, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, last caller, he stole my big point. I'm not on this, like, this train of, like, we need to get rid of Julius. How many guys, like the last caller said, giving us 25, 10, and 5? Like, only, like, the elite of the elite players are doing that. I'm not calling Randall elite, but, like, 25, 10, and 5 is not nothing to bat your eyelashes at. I just think we need to fill this roster up with some shooters. And, you know, you need to win regular season games. I'm not ready to move on. And everyone's saying, like, oh, it's clear that Julius doesn't want to take a back seat. How do we know this? How do we know that Julius doesn't want to take a back seat to be a number two or number three? We're just all speculating.
Well, he's already a number two.
Yeah, he's already the number two.
I think his body language would tell you that when he's not getting his touches and he doesn't have it going, he's not happy. I think people are just going off what they see from him and his body language. The complaining to the officials, lack of effort sometimes because his bad offense is now carrying over to his defense, which isn't great.
And you see the way he kind of mopes around the court when things are not going the way he needs them to go.
Yeah, and then people didn't like when IQ tried to, you know, help him out. He pushed IQ. People didn't like that.
Did you like that?
No, I hated that, actually.
That was terrible.
And I usually stand up for him, but I didn't like that.
This is supposed to be a leader of the team?
Yeah. He is supposed to be a leader of the team.
All right, well, that's not the way a leader of the team works. LaRon in Queens. Good morning, LaRon.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. So my thing is Julius Randle. Very bad postseason, you know, 9 points down from his average. But I think if he's willing to take a step back, we could get another player, it will be good. But the thing about it is we may have to use him as trade bait, which hurts us, and we'll still only have two players that will work. So we still down a player. So if we can find a way to get another player, I don't know who's on the market right now, but if we can get another player to complement him and Brunson, I think the Knicks would be in good shape.
LaRon, here's the thing, though. To sit and say that he's naturally going to be willing to take a step back. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was there anyone else in the Knicks that was all NBA?
Or no, an all-star? Not at all.
No, right.
Not at all.
Okay,
and
so, I mean,
you
got to understand, too, but you have to understand, and I appreciate the phone call, the dynamics of a locker room and how it works. And I think part of the problem with Julius is that Julius sees himself as at a certain level. And the way he plays, how much he wants the ball, like that all speaks to how he feels about himself as a player. And he's not going to take a back seat to R.J. Barrett. But I think, I mean, unless you bring somebody in that he looks at and says, you know, I'm not at this guy's level, so I'll take a back seat. Like Kevin Love and Chris Bosh take back seats to LeBron James and, you know, in Chris Bosh's case, Dwayne Wade.
Do you think there's anybody in the NBA circles right now, GMs, coaches, scouts, evaluators, who look at the Knicks right now and say that Jalen Brunson is not clearly the best player on this team?
No.
Okay. So if that's the case, and you're Julius Randle, you need to either accept the fact that you're at best the second best player on this team, or you need to probably want to move on.
Well, no, I don't think. Listen, there's a big difference between accepting the fact that you're the second best player on the team, or all of a sudden now being the third option. Like, I mean, I think in his mind, I don't want to say he thinks he's better. He might. But, I mean, him and Jalen are 1A and 1B. So, like, and you saw how it worked. Like, he'd come out in the first quarter. He'd get his. He'd get going. And then, you know, at the end of games, Jalen would take over. And they were fine with that. It's just the problem is that when you see him when he struggles, it's visually it doesn't look good when he struggles.
It really does not.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Yankees salvaged, I guess, kind of this series. Did what they had to do, 2-2 against the Rays. You feel good about that? You feel like they should have won 3? What's your take on the Yankees?
I would feel good about it if I was a Yankees fan.
Yeah, I think you have to, right? I mean, those two comebacks are really good.
Right. I mean, it's a good team. It was a fun series to watch. You got back, like we talked about this last week, was the Gerrit Cole start where he's winning 6-0. They blow that game, We had the same exact thing happen with their ace in the mound. They were up 6. You fought your way back, and you won 9-8. So, I mean, you're even there. I think the Yankees are going to be – I think the Yankees are going to be fine. I do.
Now, when you say fine, you mean compete for the division? You mean have no issues as far as getting into the postseason? What do you mean?
I think they're a playoff team. I don't know about the division. I think the Rays naturally at some point are going to come back down to earth, but they're a really good team. They hit a ton of home runs, and they've given themselves a substantial lead here, but there's still so much season left, man. So
tons
much
season.
I mean, Anthony Rizzo right now is red hot.
What a Friday night he had, too. Because you do realize Michael King would have been public enemy number one on Friday night.
That's right.
He was dreadful, and he's been good, but he was dreadful. And then you thought to yourself, you lost Thursday, you're on the verge of losing Friday, and all of a sudden now you're near panic. But you know, to the Yankees' credit, and Rizzo, like you mentioned, that was a huge home run.
And then I'll tell you, the best part of the series for me, and this is just me personally, is so Cassie's dad is here, and he loves the Rays.
Right, he lives in Tampa, so he's a big Rays guy.
Yeah, so getting a chance to watch him watch the series is hilarious. He gets the play-by-play. I mean, he's swearing at his team. This guy stinks. This guy stinks.
So they have the best record in baseball, and he's apoplectic over what?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. He's the worst kind of fan then.
Yes. Yes, and he's just crushing them. He's like, don't let Judge get up. You can't let Judge get up. Oh, what are we doing? It was hysterical.
Imagine if they weren't good.
No, I couldn't. I could not imagine it. So he was devastated. The game on Saturday where they had the 6-0 lead, he was devastated. Like, as soon as Judge made it 6-4, that's when he puckered right up. He's like, oh, no.
He got himself a little anxious, didn't he?
Real anxious. But, no, I think they're going to be fine, man. I mean, I think as they get healthier here, I'll tell you what, I really, and I know the batting average isn't great, but like you asked me like what I look for in a baseball player, like I like Anthony Volpe a lot.
Oh, I think do. I haven't heard any negativity about Volpe. I mean, he hasn't been great, but the way he plays the game, he's gonna be a good player for a long time for the Yankees.
Yes, but I'm just saying like my taste of baseball player. Like he brings so much to the table.
You know who else is really good, too, is Harrison Bader.
How about the catch he made yesterday?
Whoa, was that something, huh?
Was that a catch or what? Holy. So the base is loaded, he makes that catch.
Oh, that clears the base. Now, you lost the game anyhow, so ultimately it didn't matter, but that was some catch.
It was an amazing catch, and that guy, I mean, since he's come back, has brought, I mean, he's brought offense, great defense, tons of energy.
Speed, right? So the Yankees are not the same old, like, you know, a guy on first, and you have to have a home run. Like, they can run the bases. You can go first to third. Like, it's a different feel. You know what the funny thing to me is? They went from their pitching was great and their offense was dormant to kind of flipping the script, where Gerrit Cole and Cortez have not been great lately, and their offense is kind of carrying the day.
Yeah, I think that's the one that concerns you a little bit. I mean, Gerrit Cole with the home runs now, like that's what he was doing really well to start the season. He wasn't giving up home runs because last year that was the big problem for him was how many home runs he gave up. Friday he gives up another 2 home runs, only gave you 5 innings. But the Cortez one is...
Well, Cortez has been bad for a bit now.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people that looked at him last season and how great it was in hope that this is just who he was going to be. And would there be times this season if you know that he struggled? And right now he's struggling a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely in one right now. But you know, you go from this huge series against Tampa to an equally big series up in Toronto now.
Well, against another good team.
Yeah, they just swept away the Braves, which almost never happens.
Thank you, Toronto.
Yeah, I agreed with that. But yeah, and you got Brito on the mound tonight. And by the way, and I know there's probably nothing you could do at the moment. Clark Schmidt is not a starting pitcher in this game right now.
Clark Schmidt has struggled. Yeah, he had the one start where he was good, and then back to reality. And then I would also suggest to Abreu that you maybe not want to go 4 straight changeups to Walls.
Not good.
Who hit the Grand Slam? Yeah, not great.
Not good. And even in that case, the Yankees almost came all the way back and tied that game.
Yeah, they fight, man. I mean, the Yankees are a good team. I mean, the Yankees are a good team. I don't think anyone, Like, we always say that you can't, I mean, you can't count out Tampa. Tampa's always going to be good. But no one expected this from Tampa.
No. Nobody expected this. I think, you know, when I look at the Yankees, can you really expected more so far early in the season?
With what, like, they dealt with injury-wise?
Yeah, or? Outside of Tampa just being so scalding red hot. If Tampa was, what is Tampa? Are they 31-11 now? 32-11? They're right there within that range. If Tampa was 27-16... You'd be fine. I think the only reason you're so, if you are concerned about the Yankees, is just that Tampa's been so great. The Yankees' record is not awful for what they should be.
No. I mean, Tampa's 31-11. You're 23-19. I don't think that, again, this is what happens early in seasons too, man. I mean, the Pirates were one of these teams too that got off to a really good start. No, they're not Tampa.
And they've come back to reality.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, you're in a good division. The AL East is a good division. Baltimore's a little bit ahead of schedule. They're off to a great start. Toronto is a good team. You know Toronto's a good team. And Tampa got off to, I mean, just a scalding red-hot start. Hitting tons of home runs. I mean, their run differential is plus 120 already.
Yeah, there's really no, other than the fact that now they have a bunch of injuries. Yandy Diaz looks like he might go on the IL now. Right? Springs is out for the season. They have Rasmussen's going to miss, what, the next 8 weeks? They have a mess with that rotation right now.
Right. So, I mean, I think we talked about this, and I think we were saying it. It is, I mean, the Yankees, all the injuries they were dealing with, kind of tread water. Keep your head above water for a while. We'll see what happens with Tampa. And then as you start getting healthy and have a better, I mean, a legitimate version of what you expect it to be as a team, then you can decide how you feel about it.
Yeah, I don't think they're in trouble. The only thing I'll say is it's not like you're chasing one team. You're chasing three. So you got to get.
Yeah,
you
but
gotta,
I don't even listen. I mean that whole the whole notion that you have to win the division. Yeah, winning the division is great. Just be playing your best baseball at the end of the season.
That's
how about
fair.
That?
So that's it. So right now, Yankees to win the division, you're dicey. Yankees to get in, you have zero doubts.
I think the Yankees are a playoff team, man. I mean they're only 8 games back, and then you just watch them. I mean you just watch them go toe to toe with this Rays team. It was a battle, man. I mean, that was a good series this year.
It was a very entertaining series.
Yeah,
wasn't
outside
it?
Of, I mean, outside of the 8-2 loss on Thursday, Friday you score 6 and win. Saturday you come all the way back from 6-0, score 9. And then outside of that stupid Walls Grand Slam, I mean, that's an 8-7 loss. So I'm going to say it's a real competitive series.
Real competitive. So overall, I guess the temperature for the Yankees is they're fine, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have Stanton back. The Rodon thing, I mean, that's still something to be concerned about. Nestor Cortez has to figure it out.
Yeah,
it
sounds like Severino's not too far off now.
It sounds like Severino will be back soon. And, I mean, Rizzo is, like, I was looking at his numbers in May, and they're outrageously good. Like, the guy, I mean, talk about benefiting from the lack of a shift. I mean, Rizzo right now is just... That
swing is built for Yankee Stadium, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely built for Yankee Stadium. But it was built for Yankee Stadium last year, and what was his average, 212?
Yeah, absolutely. But he has tons of power. Orioles, legit or no? Or you're not sure?
I think they're probably a little ahead of schedule. I think they're good, but I don't think they're good enough yet.
So at the end of the day, when the dust settles, Yankees move past Baltimore?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay.
But how do you feel about it?
They're so young. I think it's and do they have enough starting pitching? I would say probably not.
Well, that's the thing though too, man. I mean, it's the one thing about youth too. You always talk about. It's just how long can you maintain this level when you're going 162? Same thing with the NHL. Like there's a lot of times young guys will get off to real hot starts. And then all of a sudden, they just hit a wall because it's a lot. Like being like trying to get yourself mentally focused for 82 games or 162 baseball every single day.
Never stops.
I mean, it's a
never
lot.
Stops. Big series, four games with Toronto. And by the way, you know who's going to be the biggest Mets fans this week? Yankees fans. Yankees.
Yes.
Fans, because Mets play Tampa starting tomorrow. Are you going to the series, by the way?
I am.
When are you going?
I think I'm going Wednesday.
Love it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.